You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
You're hanging out with two divas and a margarita on October 1st. It's the first day of October. And I'm Diva Tosh.
And I am Diva Cass. How are you?
We are good. I am good.
You're good.
I think it's this Cavassier here. We switched it up today.
We did.
We weren't supposed to say that.
I know. You know what? We usually drink margaritas on the show. We're getting a little tired of the margaritas. Let's just be honest.
We have
a special guest here in the studio with us today. Jimmy.
Hello.
And how you doing, Jimmy?
Hey, Jimmy.
Jimmy is our a special guest for us today, and he is a polygamist. He's a polygamist, and so he was the one who requested the Cavassier today, and I'm actually glad he did because it tastes really good. I just probably shouldn't have too much. I'm the only one here drinking it today with a chaser because I'm a lightweight.
You be lightweight.
That's who I am.
That's okay. Ain't nothing. I
own
with
up
that.
To who I am. You two are drinking it straight up. So what does that really say about you?
you like your life. Straight up, no chaser.
That's a separate show in itself.
Okay, so we will get to our topic today, polygamy. But before we do that, how was your week, Tosh?
It was cold, and my daughters told me I was trying to kill them.
Why?
They said, I know what's up, Ma. You trying to kill us. You trying to take us out because you ain't going to turn the heat on.
Oh, no, that heat can't come on. It's October.
It's October 1st.
Yeah, it shouldn't come on until probably December 30th.
No, I told them they better bundle it up, use their heater, and just keep on moving.
That's how it goes.
Run on the spot.
Bundle it up.
Yeah.
How was your week, Jimmy?
It was absolutely fine. Little bit busy, family's in town, so, you know.
Okay.
Did the whole thing.
Who's in town?
Tiffany.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
all right.
She snuck in.
Okay. Well, I wish you would have told me before today, because I would have asked her to come hang out with us, but we'll talk about that. Rachel, how are you?
I am great.
Rachel?
Hi, how are you?
You're our engineer for today?
I am the engineer today.
And Rachel, normally we have Nick, but he's out of town.
Yes.
So. But we're happy that you're here.
I'm happy to be here. I am not really sure much about your show, so I'm excited to hear it.
Well, we're two divas and a margarita.
Yes.
But today we're two divas and a Cavassier.
Right.
Even better.
And what are you drinking, Rachel?
I am drinking whatever we have on tap here.
Okay.
So it is a beer.
Isn't it an awesome studio?
It's the best. It is a very fun part-time job, I will admit.
So you come here, they have beer on tap.
Correct.
At the studio, all kind of alcohol.
And I get to listen to people talk about interesting things, usually.
All right. Well,
I think we got an interesting topic today.
Well, my week was good. I had a funny thing happen. I am learning a new job. So someone that I work with is retiring. I'm going to be taking over for him. And so because he is retiring, he is a somewhat elderly man. He's an older man. So in order for me to train with him, they moved an extra desk into his office for me to sit in there with him. So we're kind of sharing an office right now.
Okay.
So it's tight quarters.
Oh, my goodness.
By it being so tight in there, he fell.
This week.
Yeah.
You wrong.
But, and it's not funny, but it was funny. And this is why it was funny. So he fell. He tripped. Basically, he tripped over a piece of furniture in the office.
You stuck your foot out, didn't you?
No, I would never do that. But he tripped. And so I thought he was going to recover from the trip, but it went into a slow fall. It was like slow motion.
Not the slow motion fall.
Like, I actually get it right now how they say somebody fell in slow motion. It was so slow that I thought he was faking. I thought he was, like, being silly. But then he ended up on the floor, and I was like, I don't know what to do right now. I mean, should I laugh? Should I help him up? What do
both.
I do?
Both.
Did you make eye contact with him when he
was
on the floor?
I was still trying to sort out in my brain what was happening because it was so slow, and I was
did
like,
he have one of those things around his neck? He's like, I'm falling. No, I can't get up. And he, like, mashed the button.
Just so you know, I did giggle a bit, but I reached down and said,
okay,
here, take my hand.
You could laugh as long as you help him up.
So when I went to, he said, no, I got it. Let me roll over.
That's the, I'm really not okay. Like, if I have to roll over first, he's not
over,
okay.
And then he got up, and he was okay. But that was kind of funny to me.
You know what?
And it was only funny because he was not hurt at all.
Sure.
You know? At least he didn't appear to be. So
that definitely fills in the gap for a whole week. You're good to go now.
Yeah, it's kind of it was interesting. So that was just a little bit of my week. Cold.
Yes.
I decorated my house for Halloween today.
Oh, you're ready?
I'm ready.
30 days.
I love Halloween. So
that's all right.
And That's pretty much it for me.
Okay.
Rachel, how was your week?
It was awesome. I actually decorated my house for Halloween like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, she's one of those.
I just bought a new house in March, so it's my first time having my own home.
Well, congratulations.
And being able to decorate it, so I went overboard. I'll probably do the same thing with Christmas.
Okay.
But, yeah, I just went home, visited my parents this weekend, hung out with my sister, did some shopping. Mm-hmm.
And where's home for you?
My family lives in Flint. So that's where I grew up, and that is where I go home for the weekends every now and then.
Okay.
It's always nice.
So don't say always. Maybe most of the time, depending on your family, maybe. Some people never want to come see their family. That old chestnut, you know.
Well, you know, speaking of family, we'll just go into our topic. We usually have a hot topic. I don't have one today. I apologize. Our guest, Jimmy, his family, he is my family to me. Mm-hmm. Our families are very close. I've known him his entire life.
Uh-huh.
So basically, since I've known you your whole life, I consider your aunt my very best and dearest friend.
Oh, yeah.
So naturally, we've seen a lot of each other in our lives.
For sure.
And so, when I think maybe 5 or 6 years ago is when I want to say we have a polygamist, but I don't know him as I know him as Jimmy. So, but he happens to be a polygamist. So when I remember the first time I saw you with your two ladies, wives. I don't know how you call them, but we'll definitely touch on that.
Oh, they were just girlfriends then.
They okay. Well, you know what?
Most
guys don't walk around with both of their girlfriends at the same. So I remember it might have been 5 or 6 years ago.
I'm the oddball. I must.
And I saw this, and I naturally asked your aunt, "What's up with that?" You know.
Right.
You know. So she was like, "Oh, you know, that's his family." And I was like, "Okay, family, how?" So you need to tell me what that.
You got
to
tell us.
You need to tell me out. So my first thing is, you know, how long have you been involved in polygamy?
Well, I started researching polygamy as a teenager, actually.
So you actually researched it?
Oh, for a long time. Okay. As a youth, I was like the avid reader. I didn't play any sports. I didn't play football, basketball. None of those things interested me. But for some reason, I was just that type of child. Ancient culture, ancient warfare in particular. And those sort of things just piqued my interest. And I was more of the, I guess, you know, you'd say nowadays, intellectual as opposed to the grunt who wanted to just get dirty and run a ball and play with a ball. I felt that belittled me in some way.
Okay.
And I began to research ancient culture, and everywhere that I researched, polygamy was like a large part of the actual culture, not just what was happening at the time and what was going on. And growing into manhood, I became to, you know, kind of understand the dynamics of male-female relationships that, you know, truth being told, outside of just how you feel about it, the majority of women, even married, and men cheat on them. They men from time to time have other women.
I believe
right.
that.
So
I do believe that,
the
too.
Problem is, from the get-go and from the jump, you start with a lie. And you tell a woman she's going to be the only one, and she's not.
In some cases.
You come into it. And there's always an exception to the rule.
Right.
There are some guys, I don't know how they've done it, but they've been with one woman for 30 and 40 years, and that has been that. That's
you
not
know,
my
but
particular
I do
breed.
Believe even if you've been with a woman sometimes for, like you say, 30 years, you might not be the type to step out a lot, but maybe once or twice in that 30 years, you may have. I do believe that.
For sure. And polygamy is just the aspect of it dealing with it with honesty. Not
and
necessarily
openness.
Saying that because we're in a polygamous relationship, oh, now I can just have 1,000 women. No, it's a lot of control of self and mastery of self, not just, you know, I get to have more than one woman.
Yeah.
Because any guy can have more than one woman. You don't have to be a polygamist for that.
No.
You can just stay single and have all the women. You know, so
you're right.
You know, you don't have to get married or actually commit yourself into a relationship to get the benefits of that. So that actually has nothing to do with it. But ironically, that's the first thing most people think of when they say you're in a polygamous relationship. Oh, you get to have more than one woman. Any man can do that. You know, that's really not important.
Yeah. So how long so far for you?
Oh, my. I don't tell my age quite. Maybe 15 years actively.
Actively.
Yeah.
Okay. And so how did you first get involved?
I was a knucklehead that wouldn't lie. You know, I was the guy that just didn't lie to the girlfriend until when you know you had another woman.
Uh-huh.
And there was just something inside of myself that just lying to the woman to me was more detrimental than me being with another woman. And something within me was just, you know, kicking towards, you know, you just be truthful about the whole thing and how you move and how you operate. You know, secrets are, you know, those will destroy you inside. You're keeping secrets, you're hiding stuff from your significant other. Those actually tear you up. But to live your life with, you know, all your cards on the table, so to speak, your life in the open, it gives you a bit of freedom that actually, you know, is liberating. And, you know, and I felt that, and I got a taste of it, and I liked it, and I've never been the same way since then.
So at some point, it started somewhere. Like, I know you say you researched it, but something sparked your interest in just the whole, I mean, at what point did you say, hey, I want to check more into polygamy? I know you were researching ancient cultures.
Oh, yes.
And so then during that process, you learned more about polygamy.
Mm-hmm.
And then that obviously sparked an interest for you as well.
Yes.
So you knew you were the type of young man who didn't want to lie to women.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you're also researching this lifestyle. Would you say it's a lifestyle?
It is definitely a lifestyle. It's how you move through society, how you carry yourself, how you view the world, and how you view relationships with your children, with the women in your life, with your parents. It's a whole lifestyle that you actually sort of take on. So, yes, it's definitely a lifestyle.
I'm kind of curious, when you're honest and open with these women, is that their lifestyle also, or are they just women and sounding kind of ignorant, I want to be with you, so I'm going to comply to how you want to move forward with this relationship?
I don't think in my personal experience it's been that sort of thing, but perhaps there are. There are some naive people who say maybe I'll forego the fact that my man has to be just my man and solely my man because my religious point of views may be, or, you know, some other type of thing that they're holding on to. But that's why you definitely talk and you upfront and honest from the get-go about what it is you're looking for, what it is you want, and how you deal with even the whole situation of a male-female dynamic as opposed to what it is that you hope it would be and what television and movies may have has portrayed relationships to be. What is happening now? Because the vast majority of relationships fail. Majority of marriages fail.
I agree.
The whole thing, the whole system that we've been operating on about monogamy and you're stuck with that one person for the rest of your life. And I can imagine working a job for 30 years, let alone being with one person for 30 years.
We've talked about that.
You just have to totally shut life down.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make sense. And society is evolving. It's not the same thing as it was 40 years ago when, you know, everybody sat around and listened to the radio for entertainment. And, you know, nowadays you have movies on your phone. Cellular phone a little while ago was just unheard of. So times are changing and our dynamics as humans, as how we deal with each other, are changing as well.
That. Times are changing. Well, polygamy has been around, like you said. It's ancient.
That's what goes to show you that something works, because it's been around a long time. And it's still here.
It's been around. It's not going anywhere.
No, it's not going anywhere.
So I guess my question is, right now, mm-hmm. I know you're married. Mm-hmm. So legally in our country, mm-hmm. you can only be married to one person.
That is legally.
Legally.
Yes.
But do you have another wife now?
No, not at the moment. Okay.
What are you going to take on?
What is a yes? But what is
that
marriage?
Was a hard yes.
Okay.
What you know? One woman is hard to deal with.
Oh yeah.
Having more than one woman, you know, that's kind of hard to deal with, and it takes more of yourself. Then, as opposed to just actually having one wife, you have two nagging women. Now, instead of just the first one that, you know, hollered at you about your drawers on the floor, or, you know, why didn't you pick up the spoon that you use out of the, you know, peanut butter jar?
Right, that's a real thing.
real life situations. But, no, not at the moment. But what is a marriage? A marriage is simply a contract. And in legal terms, that's what exactly it is. It's a contract. The rules of the game and how it goes. You and that person agree to take each other and be legally binding with each other. There's a place for her to sign. There's a place for you to sign. There's a place for witnesses to sign. Marriage is nothing more than a contract between you, the person you're marrying, and the state in which you're getting married. That's why you can't get divorced unless you go to the state in which you got married. Contract aside, because that just says, I like you, you like me. We're going to be together for a while or forever.
Yeah.
But let's not play with how we deal with the legal affairs, because I want to be able to help you in case you can't speak for yourself, and you should be able, because we're on the same page. That is more of what a marriage is, and that's the contract portion of it. That doesn't mean that you can't actually have another wife outside of that. That's the legal factors of it and the legal parameters of it. But your relationship that you have every day, the woman you sleep with, the woman you argue with, the woman you love to death, the woman that you have great times with, you know, nobody else is there when it's you and her except you and her. So that's actually the relationship I focus on, not necessarily the contract portion.
Yeah, okay. You should see us all. Like, we're all listening to him.
I see the gears are turning, and like fists are like balling up, and they're ready to hit
me. If you guys could be in this studio, the women are just so focused on listening to him, just so intensely. Yeah. It's actually funny. I'm sorry, Rachel.
No. So I am a kind of, I don't really believe in marriage. I'm kind of a progressive. Mm-hmm. I'm not really a commitment person. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily believe there is one person for each person. And I think it's really illogical to think one person can meet every single need in your life.
Oh, yeah.
That's insanity to me. Mm-hmm. So that being said, I hear you saying a lot about having, you know, two women in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work both ways for gender? Like, could I have two men?
Of course you could. Okay. That is.
Wow. I did not know that.
Polygamy, polygyny, polyandry. All of the terms are mixed in. There's a woman who has more than one husband, like, per se, tribes in South America, mm-hmm. where the men are more scarce than the women, because on Earth, naturally, there are a lot more women than there are men. If every man had one wife, you know, out of the 7.5 billion people on this planet, if the ratio is correct that they tell me, it's like 17 to 1, there are more women on this planet than men. There's going to be a lot of women by themselves, mm-hmm. which that doesn't even make sense to me. That speaks to nature's ordained polygamy. God, if you say he created nature and by design and people, and he knows what he's doing. And if he created that vast majority of women as opposed to men, then he must want men to have more than one woman. You can take the personal way you feel about it because of your programming since you've been on this earth,
mm-hmm.
your religious programming. Maybe you can take, if you take that out and look at it for what it actually is, maybe it's something there that's actually saying something.
Well, let's talk about pros and cons. Mm-hmm. I mean, because polygamy is not necessarily, you know, the way society thinks it is without mm-hmm. having done the research. It's not necessarily about sex.
Oh, no, not about sex. Is easy. That comes everywhere, anywhere. You can walk down the street and somebody wants to have sex with you. That actually is the lowest, you know, form and factor. It's about family unity, actually developing the strength in a family. Mm-hmm. Many, many years ago, there wasn't a 911. You know, you didn't dial 911 for an emergency. You didn't have the government. You didn't have the corporations that we do today, which City of Detroit, the city of whatever, the state of Michigan, and the agents that work for them, which are the police. You call them, they come out, you know. We didn't have that always. There was a time when there was you, your wife, your children on a plot of land, and you had to defend your own life, your own land, your own children. And what people began to notice over time is that it was easy for a band of naughty, naughty boys to come get just a guy, his wife, his couple little weak kids. You know, they got some nice juicy cows over there. We need some, you know, we need to rustle some cattle, and we're hungry. We're going to eat a couple of them, steal some horses, you know, beat some folks up. It was easy to come jack you. But now a man had five wives, 17 kids, you know, it wasn't so easy to come on your property and just jump you like that. You know, you just look out and say, who at the front? You know, tell little Nook Nook and Peanut and them, yeah, come on from the back and y'all come on up here and help out. We got something to handle at the front gate. Right. So it was about actually family strength and unity. And that's not actually dead today. The dynamics has changed, maybe. But that's not dead. It's more of a need for it now than ever because families are just torn and lost.
So do you not believe that a family unit could be just as strong with just two?
It could be as strong. I mean, there's always an exception to the rule. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, no one fits into the category all the time. But as the vast majority goes, as the population goes, and we look at these relationships, they're just not working. Women holler more than a little bit about these low-down dirty dogs, and they have other women, and they cheat, and, you know, the whole system that we've been given of relationships was flawed, and it wasn't the original system anyway. The original system was that men had more than one woman.
Okay, and I want to talk to you about that mm-hmm. because we somewhat have the same religious background, mm-hmm. or at least coming up.
Oh, yes.
We did.
Of course.
Is your choice to be a polygamist, is that religious in any way? And what do you say to people who, you know, who say, well, God gave Adam Eve. He didn't give her Eve and Alana. And so what do you say to that?
I'll say that the society that we have now is actually pushed more towards Adam and Steve.
this is true.
If a man now does not take more than one woman,
they could say the same thing about that. You know, mm-hmm. those true diehard old school Christians who would say that was wrong too would say
my grandmother was one of them.
Yeah,
you ain't supposed to be doing that. Throw that guy there, throw that one woman. God gave every man one wife.
I didn't say one wife. It said what?
It says a wife.
And you know my mom and her were best of friends and they are on the same, you know, bandwagon because this is what they were taught. Mm-hmm. So even whether it's two men or a man and multiple women, there's those old school Christians who still will say that that's wrong.
All
and
day.
God gave Adam Eve. So what do you say
but
to
where
that?
Can you refute that God is opposed in any way to a polygamous relationship? There's no way.
I don't know that he is because to me, no. I'm like you. I mean, in those days, they had multiple wives even then, and they were considered
very, very
Christian men.
It was very, common, and God showed a lot of those guys favor.
Yes.
So, David was a man after God's own heart.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. That's also true, and in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Monogamy is a very, very new advent of the church. It is complete fabrication of what used to actually happen and used to go on. It's about control and money making. It's no longer about saving your soul. I don't think it was about that in the beginning, but definitely today it's not about saving your soul. These churches
are just
pimps. And it's hard to say because I come from a deeply embedded religious background.
Yep, we do.
And, you know, even myself to now remember seeing what I saw as a child in church If I go to church now, it's completely different. I mean, it's completely different. It's things that they, the goings on that they allow. Real God exists on the inside. That's, you know,
yeah.
It's not a thing of appeasement to God, because God speaks to you on the inside. And the vast majority, according to the scriptures, are going to be lost anyway. So following them is definitely something you don't want to do.
So you feel that the church has become commercialized?
Oh.
In a lot of ways.
It was always like that. That's what it's for.
Okay.
That's what it's there for. It's not necessarily soul liberation. The word church, even within itself, gives you hint and clue into what it's actually teaching and what it's there for. Now, there are individuals there who have genuine earnest in seeking spirituality, you know, deliverance and those sort of things. But the word church comes from, you know, the Greek witch Circe, which means to hypnotize people, bring people into their house, hypnotize them, and live off of them. Before it was in English church, it was in Scottish Kirk. You know, that's why you have Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. It's Captain Church and the Money. Before that, it was in the Greek, the Roman Circe. And before that, it's in Circe. Circe, and then you find out, was the witch, the hypnotist. Mm-hmm. You bring people into the house, you hypnotize them, and you live off of them. That's exactly what the church does.
And we are back with Jimmy, and we are talking about polygamy today, and he's actually educating us quite a bit. But I did have a question. So you said both your families are pretty close, and you have similar background.
Oh, yeah.
Spiritual beliefs.
Yeah.
So are your parents still around, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah.
That's okay?
Yeah, yes, they are.
Okay, so what was their opinion when they found out that this was the route that you wanted to go as far as, you know, what you practice in relationships?
Yeah, I think they can, you know, any member of my family will always tell you I've always been the different one. I've been a bit different from from childhood. I wanted to learn the things nobody else wanted to learn. I wanted to see the things nobody else wanted to see. I wanted to travel to the places no one else really wanted to go. I was just that different one.
And so
I
are they deep in their faith?
Oh, yes. They're like, you know, hardline, you know, Seventh-day Adventism goes deeply into the family. On my father's side, I was bombarded with the Baptist church. So it was like a double whammy every weekend of childhood, of church, you know.
You poor thing.
Saturdays, you know, Seventh-day Adventism. And, you know, then come Sunday, it was, you know, my father was the Baptist church. And it was like two total different elements of Christianity. I was, you know, how are they both Christianity and they're so doggone different? And the philosophy and you know, the policy even is just all so much different. Yeah. And, you know, that just added to the ammo for my arsenal that something was wrong anyway.
So then now you come to the family and tell them that you're in a relationship with...
And they go, you crazy.
Nah, I know.
And they go, you crazy. You know, by now, so many years later, it's like, it's not just a young guy with a fad, trying something, you know, from his young ignorance. Even now, I say the same things and I approach it from a deeply educational point of view. They just go, oh, well, you know, that's just Jimmy. Nothing we can really say to him about that.
I have to be honest. If you would have asked me maybe 5 or even 10 years ago, I would say the same thing. That's crazy. But being older, more mature, knowing that relationships are tough, and, you know, he is approaching it with an honesty.
Right.
Everyone involved knows what's going on. I do want to ask you this, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. So at how many, what's the most wives you had at one time?
Four.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, four.
Okay, so you've all lived, you have four wives that lived in the same house.
Oh,
with you?
No. They didn't live together. Imagine being in a house with more than one woman. No.
Okay, so
no.
You've ever lived with more than one of them in the house with you?
No, not in one house. A house for all the women. Women don't get along. You know, I come from a family of women.
You do.
And they can love each other and be related. And now and again, the calls come out, the arguments go on, you know,
He comes from a day or two later,
they're like laid up together watching TV. You know, women are like strange, and that's why
I really don't pull
too many punches. I just approach it with the sophistry of manhood.
So you've had four at one time.
Yes.
They all knew what was going on.
Of course, yeah. We would go to events and all sit together and... You know, some people look at you funny, and, you know, other people are just like, you know, oh, you the man, dog.
Yeah, you know. player.
And, yeah, and that, like, to me, that, like, is a little embarrassing. I'm like, you're so ignorant. Please be quiet.
We like, please be quiet, but yeah, I am the man.
But, you know, I showed it off.
So obviously, in order to make all of this work, the women have to be on one accord in many ways, maybe not in everything, but and I know I don't have a lot of experience with this, so forgive me if I have to refer to sister wives, because, you know, that's probably what most people know about. So in sister wives, the women all live in their own homes with their children, and the man spends he has designated nights that he spends. Is that how it goes too?
Something like that. Depends on the situation you have, what exactly is going on. No two cases, so to speak, are the same. Every family is different. It's not like Mormonism where there's like a doctrine of how we do things. And no, your family is your family. You know, in any relationship, you know whether your woman ain't nothing. Your woman know whether her man ain't nothing. So once you get past the silly stuff, then it comes down to dealing with each other with, you know, a tour set of glasses. So you kind of divvy the time up depending on what's needed and what's going on. You know, you don't have a set time that you're at this house and then rotate to this house and then back around to this house. Mm-hmm. You know,
you just let it roll out naturally.
Yeah, I mean, you let life unfold like life unfolds. Life is natural. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't, try to contradict it. If something happens, the toilet doggone break, and, you know, the day of the winter, some pipes didn't broke, you might be over Tina's house a lot longer than, you know, Becky's house, you know.
So you have
a bunch of houses. You are a man in every sense, yes.
Okay, now that's a whole nother.
That's a whole lot of work.
That's a lot of vitamins.
You gotta take a lot of vitamins.
You got houses to pay for, toilets to fix, kids to whoop.
Where did I sign up for this?
Bills to pay.
My spider.
There's always, you know, somebody that you have, there. And from a man's point of view, there are certain benefits as well. Not the sex, the sex.
You know, everybody is. Let's put it out there.
I like to bring that up last because sex is just easy. I don't understand how people still get caught up on, like, you have sex with more than one woman. I'm like, everybody's having sex with more than one woman.
You're right.
When women having sex with more than one woman. What is it? I think sex is not difficult.
I think it's because most people lie about it. I think they're having a hard time with the fact that you're saying,
I know it.
I'm doing this. I'm open with this. These women are aware of it. So that's where everybody is so kind of like amazed. Because this is I'm a woman. I'd have to say there'd be a tremendous amount of jealousy for me. Mm-hmm. So do these women get, I know they signed on for this, Jimmy, but there has to be some sort of jealousy involved. How does that work out?
Well,
because they're just women and they're human.
They are women, and I keep that in my head many, many times. Women are emotional, and I don't get caught up in the emotional game with it. If they have disputes or something's going
on. What would be a dispute? Give me an example.
I want a new car first, you know.
Ooh. Okay.
First.
Yeah. Now you got to get 2-3 new cars.
But I want the new car first. You have to deal with things. A man raises a family. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't become beholden to societal standards of truthfulness and light in his family, which means you lead your family by example. You're not clowning, bouncing around, hanging at the bar, always on some BS when you know.
So you could be a family man.
Yeah.
You're just hanging out.
Dealing with more than one woman is demanding.
There's no time.
When you have more than one woman and you're actually, you know, going to be an upstanding person, there's more of a demand on you. So polygamy is actually the role less traveled, but it's not for the weak, it's not for the faint of heart. It's for the men that want to challenge themselves and for the man that feels he has a bit more to give than, you know, just, day-to-day working class kind of men.
It sounds like a tough situation. Again, like I said,
women are crazy. It is a tough situation. All of you. I think all of you.
It's making me tired. just listening to the schedule.
I mean, so there is jealousy.
Sometimes.
Has there ever been physical fights with the women?
Never in a relationship I've been in.
Oh, good.
I have heard of it because I know other guys in other cities who actually are practicing polygamists. I know guys who have had the same, you know, few women that they've been married to for 30 and 40 years, like long-term polygamous relationships.
Yeah.
Also have very close contacts in Africa who have 10 wives, 12 wives, and, you know, and not like brand new wives. These wives have been around a long time. And, of course, I often, how do you deal with these situations? And the thing that I'm always reminded of is that God created you and created you head of a family. He created you head of the household, and he gave you certain things that he just didn't give everybody else in the family. Mm-hmm. Now, if you become beholden to societal standards, corrupt church standards, or anything else, and instead of doing what you know is right and what you know to be of great direction, then you're not being very helpful to your family. So you don't get involved between the disputes. Mm-hmm. They're still two grown women.
What do you mean you don't get involved? Because they're looking at you as the head of the family.
You give guidance.
Okay.
They're still grown women.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you know, it's not a thing of they're under my control.
And I would guess they, being human beings, would want you to take a side.
Mm-hmm. And right.
Because I'd
right.
be like, you know I'm right.
But you become like the judge. You know, the man is the priest in his home. Judge in his home. He's the provider in his home. He wears many hats. And just as you would with two daughters, you would sort the dispute out. You don't take sides based on...
Well, even if you think one is really right.
What? No,
you just try not to do it.
It doesn't matter which one is right or which one is wrong. You do what you know is right, and you make the best decisions, and you give the guidance based on what you know is right.
Do you try to stay kind of...
neutral?
Yeah.
You try to
because you don't want to hurt
women.
Anyone.
I mean, if you see it going into a bad direction, you will step in and give guidance or something like that. But in majority of instances, I find women are just being catty with each other, and a couple of days it passes anyway, and then they, you know, like smiling and laughing and joking with each other.
So this, you know what, I'm kind of piggybacking off of what you're saying. Are you emotionally connected with all these women so that when one really is getting jealous, you know it? Without her having to say it?
I wouldn't say emotionally connected, but I'm a bit more intuitive than that, yeah. I know okay.
So are you closer to one than the other?
At the moment, I only have one.
Right. But I mean, in the past, have you?
No, I wouldn't say that. That'll come with favoritism, maybe, if you're experiencing some sort of favoritism. That's, to me, not, you know, necessarily real polygamy. You know, it's like having a child. You know, some people say it's okay to have the favorite child.
Mm-hmm.
I love all my children. It does, you know, and if you're wrong, you're wrong, and I'm going to get in your behind and make sure you understand what's going on so that not so because I'm telling you what to do, because I want you to clearly see, like, from an adult standpoint, how you should move about and deal with your life. The same way when you have more than one woman and they have a dispute, you step in, you give guidance, but they're still two grown women. You know, some issues are silly if they're having a silly argument. Let them have a silly doggone argument. They just may have something to get out between themselves.
Okay.
And it's not always a thing of control. I don't have to micromanage and control every bit. Everybody's still an adult and is still grown and knows how to conduct themselves.
So it can, is it exhausting for you
sometimes.
At times?
Sometimes. Yeah.
So you can find yourself completely exhausted with the wives.
Mm-hmm.
There's children involved, mm-hmm. obviously. What do you do?
He drinks Courvoisier. That's why he asked for such a strong drink.
My outlets are, you know, physical things. I've always been that guy. It's always started with... my young childhood, I was into martial arts, so I didn't want to play the sports. My outlet was martial arts. And as I became older, it became more like hunting, fishing, camping, you know, the outdoorsmanship. I had lots and lots and lots of outlets, and I was always traveling the world, always something to go see, always something to go learn, always a lecture to go to from some college professor or another or some expert in some field. So, you know, it was always outlets, so I wasn't really stressed out a whole lot.
You have daughters, obviously.
Oh, yes.
You have a lot of daughters.
Six daughters.
But would you want them to live their lifestyle.
I would want them to make their own decisions and choose the best man that they can choose. Now, if that be a polygamous relationship, then that'd be fine. I would rather see them in a polygamous relationship with a man who loves them and cares for them. It's not going to leave them stinking. Yeah. As opposed to a guy that, you know, they, you know, she has a false sense of
who he is
and what's going on, and it just doesn't work out well. That's absolutely fine. I want her to find, well, all of them, to find themselves a good man who provides for them and treats them the best way to treat them. Okay. And, you know, that's all a father can ask for.
Okay. What is this wife that you have right now? Because you are legally married to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've made contracts. We made corporations.
I understand the legal parameters, is what I'm actually suggesting.
So how did she become the one that you decide to make the legal contract with versus just how you've been doing it for years where you have a law and nobody's technically, as far as the state is concerned, mm-hmm. is your wife. Well, what does she do?
My legal wife and I have known each other for 10, 11 years.
So she's been your wife while you've had other wives?
Oh, yes. Okay. You know, that's how I actually met her. And then there was a part where we went through our mid-life 20s and we were apart for a while. But Joy and I actually decided to get married because two people coming together make corporation. Mm-hmm. Hence the marriage contract. You're together, you can operate as a corporation, which means you can... you know, there's certain fringe benefits of that, mm-hmm. and you can take advantage of that if you know the language I'm speaking. I don't want to go into that. That's way off topic. But Joy, professionally, has been in the same field as the building trades, construction, building, maintenance, those sort of things. Mm-hmm. Joy has worked in those trades a long while as well. So actually, us coming together to make corporation and putting two smaller corporations together that has that kind of experience together only makes for a better corporation. So
it sounds the marriage contract
was just a strategy on the aspect of business. It has nothing to do with relationships.
So did she practice polygamy before you came into her life? Or is this something you introduced her to?
No, she was aware of it, actually. She didn't practice per se.
I don't know if practice is the right word, but
I practice a
lot. Did you practice this? No.
But she was actually well aware of it already.
Okay.
We kind of hung around, you know, a decade or so ago, we kind of hung around similar circles that researched and dealt with those sort of things back then.
Mm-hmm.
So she definitely was aware of it already. It wasn't a brand new concept to her mind.
And she's been with you with other wives, and, mm-hmm. and you do believe you'll take on wives again.
Yes.
And she's okay with that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a little question. So,
is it a little one or is it actually a big one?
I don't know. You tell me. So your wife, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
What if Joy were to come to tell you, kind of piggybacking on my question earlier, what if she were to tell you she was interested in having another husband?
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel about that? Would you be comfortable with that? Would that be okay? Because some of the things you're saying are, like, kind of rub me as a little unequal.
It depends on every situation is
sure.
different.
So, like, if she
there are
if
women
she
who
were
have more
tell
than one
you,
husband. Oh, yes.
If she were to tell you personally that, is that something?
My personal relationship.
Yeah, would that be? Would you be comfortable with that?
It depends on where we're going. If we are,
it does not sound
married,
like you'd be comfortable with that.
Well, see, here's the thing.
I'm sensing a little hesitation.
To build a family, you have more than one woman. You know who those children are. When a woman has more than one husband, it's mama's baby, but daddy's maybe. So that's
DNA
a different family dynamic. I'm not saying that it's wrong in any kind of way. I've actually sat on a panel with women who've had more than one husband. They actually had a lot of good stuff going on. I mean, it surprised me. I was like, you know, really, it really, you know, I'm more of a masculine male. I'm that guy on the inside. I am ripper, terror, smasher, gouger,
right.
breaker, you know.
Male.
Yeah, that's me. But there are women who choose not to have those sort of guys. More, I guess today's terms would be beta males. There are some women who like that.
I like beta males.
So I think
that is definitely not me in any form or sense. I mean,
I think that it sounds like you love Joy.
Mm-hmm,
she's been in your life a very long time.
Oh, yes.
And that you would not you obviously know her and know that she's not going to go that route.
No.
So I don't think it's something that you would even expect her to do.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
You know,
that's what it sounds like.
And the thing about polygamous relationships, if it was, then that's something that we have to discuss. And if it's something that's what she actually wants and that's what she wants to do, and if I'm not on board with it, there's always an exit. I mean,
yeah,
just like any other marriage or anything else, people change and people sort of evolve. And if a person evolves somewhere that you're not going, that doesn't mean you have to be stuck with them at the doggone hip getting drugged through hell for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So how about jealousy? Have you felt that in moments, if any of your wives ever wanted to go meet with Billy Joe Jim Bob?
No, I've never.
Stuck with that name.
I'm a typical Scorpio male. I have a few jealousy issues. You know. natural jealousy. There's natural jealousy.
Okay. Yeah, he's an alpha male for sure.
Yes, in every sense of the word.
So that definitely would be an issue, I think.
But in my personal relationship, no, I'm the male. And
so anyone who would be considering as a wife would know that, and would know that you're not really that open to her having another relationship.
All of that goes into deep discussion. It's not, let's hurry up and get in this relationship, and I already have a relationship. You know, I'm not looking for trouble.
Yeah.
You know, this whole thing about it is to actually be upright and honest about who you are, what you're looking for, and if you find people upon the same agenda and you work together the best you can. Not every situation is the same, though.
Yeah.
A lot of commonality exists in polygamy and polygyny and polyandry and those sort of things.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you the tough question that you
That's
know.
That's the tough ones, yeah.
I have to ask you, if you say, Cassandra, you overstepping your bounds, just let me know. But naturally,
you overstepping your... Oh, okay. I was ready already. Okay.
Let me get it out, Jimmy. Let's just be honest. Everybody wants to know, you're having sex with these women. Mm-hmm. Are there ever threesomes or foursomes? Is it one-on-one sex? I'm just being real.
Yeah.
Is it one-on-one, or is there a situation where you all come together?
That depends on what the woman likes. If she wants to be there, she can. If she doesn't want to, she doesn't have to.
You're not opposed to that?
No.
She's like, no.
Okay.
No, I am not.
Again, say, Cassandra, you're going too far. Has that occurred in any of your relationships where you're not just one-on-one, it's multiple?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. We're all grown. Yes.
Yeah, we are all grown. So
yes.
Okay. I just asking. It seems so weird asking him, because you just don't know. I know him when he was born. I knew him when he was born.
To grow up, and here he has threesomes. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to have this conversation. I'm telling you, this is the most interesting conversation I do believe I have had in a really long time.
I would have to agree.
You guys have any more questions for? I mean, it's getting time to wrap up, but do you guys have any more questions? Would you always be a polygamist?
I never say never. I don't know what the future holds, but at the point I am in my life now, and it hasn't changed in a long time, I'll just have to be honest and say I'll have more than one woman. Yes, absolutely.
What? I think we look. So typically, people know. That don't know a lot, like that haven't had the conversation, because you've just taught me a lot in this conversation. But if I was just completely ignorant about polygamy and all I knew is that you get to have a lot of sex with women, would you say, what do the wives get from this? Because just the average person is like, well, we know what you get, Jimmy. You get sex when you want to.
I laugh at them and I say, your man's getting a bunch of sex with a bunch of women too. Your man doing it right now. Where is he? Oh, you don't know.
Other than sex, what would make a woman want to be in polygamy? I've seen on Sister Wives, some of them have been raised in polygamous homes themselves. Mm-hmm. So naturally, that's what they want to do. Either they're going to say, I want to live that lifestyle, or I don't. So what would the wives get from this? There's two or three of them. Mm-hmm. There's one of you. Mm-hmm. What is the big benefit for them?
Well, part of it is actually having somebody that they want, not somebody that they're stuck with.
Okay. I like that.
Is there somebody that you actually want, and somebody who spiritually you click with, and They have the right sort of je ne sais quoi physically. You know, they all, you know, the cat's meow when it comes to, you know, just in your eye, how you like to see the person. And then there may be certain genetic traits and qualities that you like. There may be personality traits and qualities just, that are just indispensable. Why is it that you can't be hooked to that sort of happiness because that sort of person only has, you know, he's only supposed to have one woman?
Mm-hmm.
And like that, it's 17 women to every man on the planet. So there's, you know, there's going to be a lot of lonely,
but you know what,
women.
To be honest with you, she's going to have lonely nights too, more so mm-hmm. than not, because you can't spread yourself so thin that you're with each one of them. So she mm-hmm. may be lonely 3 or 4 nights out the week.
Maybe.
But I think she also knows that he's coming back.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So he was, he's being open and honest.
100% of the day. She knows how to call him. She knows in any advent where to go, where exactly to find him. There's no guesswork in is he sneaking about with, you know, some hot chick in, you know, behind the bar, because, you know, he was at the bar when he said he was with his buddies.
Right. So, so know, she gets a sense of knowing, a sense of, I mean, she is sharing you.
Yes.
But she knows that she's sharing.
Women have been doing that since the beginning of time. It's only recently that women have been on, you know, in the 1900s, the whole women have to have a diamond and get a husband and a marriage in the church. All that stuff is like relatively brand new and promoted. Women didn't even get diamond rings before last century, because the magazine showed women getting married and they had long white dresses and a big diamond ring. None of that symbolizes marriage.
But Jimmy, I have to ask this real quickly because I know our time is running short. Have you ever been in a situation where any of your wives might have fell in love with each other? Or one or two? Or
that's a good one.
I wouldn't say fell in love, maybe. I mean, there was a certain relationship, maybe, because of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
If two wives start becoming intimate with each other and you're all intimate with each other, there's feelings that become attached with it. And this is one particular family. So it's, you know, you can't get mad about somebody loving somebody else within the family. So, you know, that definitely wouldn't be a worry.
Right.
Jimmy, are we being naive as women today? Are we naive to think that we can meet Mr. Right and he only be faithful to us? Is this, like you said, it's just what's been put in our heads.
I think women are being, I mean, if that's what you think, you're being extremely naive. We have to start viewing the world for what it is, not what we want it to be. What, you know, I hope that, you know, this is turns out to be a nice guy. You know, we have to leave those childish sort of things out of it when we're dealing with adults and adult relationships, because, you know, Santa Claus mythos has no room in adult type of situations. So adults have to come together, be real about what you want, say what it is you want. Don't BS the man. Women do it a lot more than men. Don't BS the man. Don't BS your woman. Say what it is you want. If that person cannot offer it, then you move along politely. If that person can offer it, then you discuss what you need. Talk about what you need. Right. I mean, and be really an adult about the situation.
You know what? You may be the most adult person I know. When you really think of it in that way.
Yeah. And the most honest person,
the
too.
The most honest.
And you know what I always say? I could work with honesty.
Yeah.
It's that other stuff. When I don't know what I'm dealing with.
There's a guy here. You have more than one woman.
But at least, you know, you lay it out there.
Yeah.
This is what we're working with.
Well,
and
you
there's
know
no surprises. That's one of the things. I don't like surprises.
Yeah, I prefer the surprises to be like, you know.
Like a birthday party.
Yeah. No, I prefer to keep you surprised and like keep you on your toes, but not like from things that you should have full knowledge of.
Exactly.
You know, you guys, we had a ton of fun here, but we're going to have to wrap it up. Jimmy, thank you so much.
You're
I think we might want to have you back and maybe open up the call for cause next time.
I'll get cussed out live on it.
We have Joy on, too.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
So, you know what?
You'd be like Jimmy Part 2.
You're the talker. I don't even like people.
That's okay. She'll be just fine. You know what? Thank you all for listening to Two Divas and a Margarita. Please check us out on Facebook. Go to our website, twodivasandamargarita.com. And always, you can listen live Sundays at 4 p.m. on Podcast Detroit. Jimmy, thank you.
Thank
Rachel,
you.
Thank you. And have a good week. We're signing off.